Welcome this morning, especially if you're a visitor here. Great that you could join us on this special day. And as you're obviously very aware, it's Remembrance Sunday and also a special gift day. And for that reason, we're taking a one-week break from our series in Revelation, but we're going to be sticking with John, who wrote Revelation. We're going to go to John chapter 6. And verse 1, which is on page 1069, and then we'll continue in Revelation next week. It's a very famous account of a miracle. In fact, it's the only miracle that appears in all four of the Gospels other than the resurrection. And it has a special significance, and that's why we're going to be looking at it now. John chapter 6, verse 1, says this. Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "May the people sit down." And there was plenty of grass in that place. It's an interesting little bit of eyewitness detail, that, because it's only at the time of Passover that it would have been grass there. But anyway, I'll move on. There was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Lord God, we pray, Lord, that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word. Lord, that you would come, you would speak on this special day, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you may have been up to see the extraordinary display of poppies at the Tower of London. And here's a picture of that display. It's extraordinary sight. There are 888,246,000 poppies. 888,246,000. Am I saying that right? No. 888,000. Help me, David. Why can't I say this? Huh? Nearly a million? There's nearly a million. 888,000. That's it. 246. It's a lot, isn't it? Hard to say. Do you know each of those poppies? Each of those poppies represents a life. A British service person, life given, lost in the First World War. Extraordinary. It's overwhelming, really, you think about it. And what's even more extraordinary is you see all of that. Actually, those are just the British lives. In a war that they reckon cost up to 10 million lives. 10 million people lost their lives. Do you know, the First World War became known as the war to end all wars. And yet, despite its hugeness, the reality is that since there, war and conflict has continued, hasn't it? At extraordinary levels, even to this day. Do you know, when we consider what's happening in the world, what has been happening, both in terms of conflict, but also just in terms of the own challenges of our own nation, our own city, our own families. You know, we may not have a physical war taking place on our streets, but goodness me, we have a city that's in need, don't we? We were hearing last week of some of the needs of those in debt in our city. I was just doing a bit of research this week about Brighton and Hove. Do you know Brighton and Hove is one of the most deprived areas in the southeast? There are significantly higher child poverty rates than the southeast and high numbers of children in a household with no working adults. There's a higher unemployment rate than the average in the southeast and nationally. There's a higher number of people claiming out of work and incapacity benefits. Lower average earnings than the southeast. Poor educational attainment. High housing costs. Higher levels of homelessness than the southeast and England. High rates of sexually transmitted infections and HIV prevalence. Teenage pregnancy rates are very high compared to the rest of the region. There's high levels of mental health problems and a high suicide rate. There's high incidence of domestic and sexual violence. High levels of morbidity and mortality related to alcohol and drugs. High numbers of carers and young carers. And as a church, this is the city we've been called into. This is why we're having a gift day today. You know, on one level, it's very simple. We have a city that is in huge need, in great pain, in many cases. But you know, to be honest, when I take time, you know, to think about just my own family's needs, let alone the needs of the city and beyond, it can just feel so overwhelming, can't it? Do you ever just feel overwhelmed by it? Overwhelmed by the needs around us? Not sure how to make progress? Not sure, is it really worth giving of our time? Is it really worth giving of our money? I mean, what difference can it make where there's such great need? And you know, the disciples in the account we've just read, they feel that sense of being overwhelmed. They get that sense that so often we feel of what difference can we make? My prayer this morning is that God would open our eyes, that God would open my eyes to see the miraculous possibilities that are there when Jesus gets involved in overwhelming situations. I wonder, do you long to see the miraculous? Do you long to see God at work? Some people do. Do you long to see God at work in greater ways? I think we do as a church, don't we? We're praying and longing for God to move in power. It's wonderful to see what God is doing, but we long for more. Here's some advice from this account. Here's the first thing that we see. If we want to see God at work, see the miraculous. Face the needs around you. Face the needs around you. Verse 1 says this. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. The disciples and Jesus, they've just come off a really kind of successful preaching tour. They're tired, they want to get some downtime, and so they travel, verse 1, to the far shore of Galilee. It's a place where there's not many people, not many villages. It's a bit of a wilderness area. It's a great place to get away from everyone. It sounds like the sort of place I'd enjoy. It's next to the sea, there's mountains, there's not many people. Sounds fantastic. You can imagine the disciples thinking, yeah, we're going to get a rest now. Brilliant. You know, we really deserve it. This is going to be good. Probably not even knowing that verse 2, a great crowd is on its way to gatecrash their retreat. Verse 2, a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Notice this crowd is coming for a purpose. They've seen or they've heard about the miracles that Jesus has been doing, seen people healed, and so they're coming to find Jesus. They're probably bringing their sick and needy people with them. This is not going to be the quiet retreat that they were anticipating. And that's just one of the things about Jesus. You know, he tends to attract needy people, doesn't he? Doesn't he? It's one of the problems with church, isn't it? You know, he attracts needy people, and so churches end up with needy people like me and you. And needy people are challenging, aren't they? And Jesus attracts needy people. The needy are coming. Verse 3 says, and Jesus went up on a mountainside, sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. And I just want to pause there because I don't want us to miss this important detail. The Passover is mentioned 3 times in John's Gospel. First time it's mentioned is when Jesus clears the temple. And the third and only other time it's mentioned is when Jesus comes to offer his life, comes to Jerusalem to be crucified. It's an important detail, an important clue as to what's going on here. Remember, the Passover is all about remembering what God did for his people when Moses was leading them. How he rescued them, how he freed them from slavery, and then how he provided for them when they were in the wilderness, in the desert, provided manna from heaven. You know, in the wilderness, there was a lot of people to feed back then when Moses was leading them. There are a lot of people to feed in this needy bunch of people here in this account. Do you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of needy people in our city. And there is a deliberate parallel here with the feeding of God's people in the wilderness in the time of Moses. When Jesus looked up, verse 5, and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. It's a fascinating account because Jesus looks up, he sees this vast crowd, far more than 5,000, because 5,000 is just the men. There would have been women and children there as well. And rather than saying to his disciples, come on, let's get out of here, we've just come off this busy time, he says, what does he say? He says, where are we going to get bread for these people? Go and buy them some bread. In fact, he asked Philip specifically, which is interesting because Philip was local to this area. And it's probably the reason he asked Philip is because Philip knows that there isn't an Asda down the road. He knows there isn't a large town that you can go down to. And even if there was, what does Philip say? Philip says, look, even if there was somewhere like that, there's no way we'd have enough money. 8 months' wages wouldn't even touch it. Then if you're bringing 8 months' wages this morning, he says, look, even that wouldn't touch it. Why does Jesus do this? You know, he gives them this kind of impossible task, doesn't he? Philip's like, look, come on, we're going to need to move on, Jesus. What are you doing? Well, verse 6 tells us that Jesus already knows what he's about to do. But he hasn't told his disciples. It's frustrating sometimes about Jesus, isn't it? Find that with God. Hey, God, you know what you're about to do, but you so often don't tell us. Why? Is God playing with us when he does that? What is he up to? Is Jesus playing with his disciples? Well, no. Jesus is revealing something really important to them. This world is full of need. And they are called not to turn away from those needs. The world is full of overwhelming needs, and his disciples are called not to turn away from them. Do you know, it can be so tempting to run away from needs, to run away from other people's messy lives, to not let people too close, you know, tempting to even run away from our own mess, isn't it? You know, marriage going, you know, having a difficult time, marriage being hard, and so it's tempting just to run, you know, find a new marriage. Church, relationships getting difficult. Tempting just to run, find a new church. You know, it can be so tempting to run. I wonder if you feel like running at the moment. Maybe you are running. We go on the run very quickly. You know, we often try and find safe and secure places, you know, just for me, or just for me and my family, or just for me and this little group of my Christian friends. And Jesus says to his disciples, no, you need to face the crowd. No, you need to face these needs. Don't put up barriers to people. I don't know if you saw this picture or something like it recently. It's this phenomena, particularly in London, of businesses putting spikes on the ground so that homeless people cannot shelter in their doorways. And this sign says, from this man, homes, not spikes. And we look at something like that and we can be shocked, can't we? But you know, we do that with our own lives so often. We do that with our own doorsteps. We say to people, don't come too close. And we've got a very good reason for that, to be honest. It's completely understandable why we say to needy people, don't come too close, because the reality is when you let needy people close to you, it's overwhelming. You very quickly realize that their needs are bigger than you can possibly help with. Just sometimes we can naively think, actually, I'm going to help these people. I'm going to help this couple in their marriage, or I'm going to help this family in this thing. And you go there thinking you can solve it, and tell you what, it's not going to be very long before you discover you cannot solve it in your own strength. The needs are overwhelming. In fact, they are impossible for us to meet. And I think one of our biggest dangers, to be honest with you, when we read something like the story of the feeding of the 5,000, if something similar happens today, our problem is that Asda or one of the other big supermarkets are down the road, and we go, actually, let's work out a way to do that. But the point that Jesus is making is that this is an impossible task for his disciples. The needs are too big. Jesus calls his disciples to face the crowd. Do you know, our giving target today is £30,000. It's a lot of money, isn't it? We all need to give generously for that target to be reached. We all need to take time to consider our regular giving, the ongoing giving week by week, month by month, longing to see that increase. But do you know what? To be honest, no matter how much we give today, it is not nearly enough to reach the needs and meet the needs of this city. Is it? It barely scratches
the surface. There is a crisis right now in our city. There are so many who don't know God. There are so many who don't know God's ways. So many trapped in lives of debt and guilt and addiction and materialism. You know, we're used to seeing, as we think about Brighton, we often think about the homelessness in Brighton. And we're used to seeing pictures like this up here. A picture of some homeless people in our city. We're used to that. And it's great that some of our money is going to be helping provide shelter for the homeless. But on the right here is some percentages that just talk about the percentage of children living in poverty. Do you know, in Brighton, Kemp Town, 30%. 30%, 3 out of every 10 children are living in poverty in our city. This is from last year's statistics. In wealthy Hove, 19%, that's basically 20% living in poverty in our city. There are huge needs. And like the disciples, as we start to look at them, as we start to, as it were, face the crowd, do you know, it can be tempted just to be overwhelmed, to want to kind of run or give up, to think, what's the point? Jesus forces this crisis on them because he wants them to realize the needs are great and the needs will not be met by something, just something they do. And I think one of the things I believe God is doing amongst us as a church at the moment is causing us to face the crowd, to become aware of the needs. Do you know, that's why God has called us to have a CAP center. It's why God has been calling us to have communities that as well as meeting to share life and study the Bible together, are also willing to take that next step and open up our lives to the needy community around us, to needy people. But you know, as we do that, I think many of us are discovering, goodness me, the needs are bigger than we realized. Chatting with someone who we're reaching out to on Wednesday night, we in the Hangleton group, and he was just sharing his needs and the needs of his wife, and it's just overwhelming. And I think sometimes we think, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to reach out, it's all going to suddenly be it's going to be easy. But Jesus is teaching something really important. The needs are big. We do not have enough time to meet them. We do not have enough resources. But then something happens that causes this situation, this overwhelming situation, to start to change. Look what happens. Here's some advice. You want to see God at work. Face the needs around you. Secondly, bring what you have to Jesus. Verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Andrew has clearly responded to Jesus' call to find food. He's obviously quite a charismatic character. He's connecting with people and he's asking, has anyone got anything? And he's found this boy who's brought some food. And he knows it's not very much. He knows it's not going to go very far. But he also knows he's with Jesus, and so for some reason he decides, I think I should just tell Jesus about this. And he says, look, this is what we've got. You know, this is what's here. And you know, sometimes we can be so focused on what we don't have that we can miss the significance of what God has given us, what God is doing. We can miss the small but significant things that we can bring to Jesus. I wonder what you have got
that you can bring? What have you got this morning that you can bring to Jesus?
You know, the First and the Second World Wars are full of people just doing what they could, bringing kind of what they've got to help. There's a book called Christian Heroes of the Holocaust that just traces a number of different lives of people in the Second World War. And just reading the account of a Russian nun called Mother Maria of Paris. And she was in Paris at the time when the Jews were rounded up into a huge stadium. There was about, I think, 10,000 of them or so at that time. And she was one of the people who wanted to just help. And they needed food and water. And so she went to just help bring food and water to these people. And I have time to tell the whole story, but God opened up a possibility for her to actually not just feed some people, but to actually rescue some children by actually putting them in rubbish bins and as they were wheeled out of this stadium. Children who then survived the Holocaust. She just went to do what she could. Just went to offer food and water, and God had some big, big things that he wanted to do through her. Andrew brings what they have to Jesus. And Jesus responds to Andrew's glimmer of faith. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. John, they must have thought he was kind of losing it a bit, mustn't they? You know, he tells them to get everyone ready for a meal that doesn't exist. What's Jesus doing? Again, it's another important lesson. He's getting his disciples to prepare for a miracle, even to expect a miracle. Are you preparing for a miracle in your life at the moment? Maybe in the workplace, in your family, in your community group, your ministry? Are you even expecting a miracle? Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Do you notice Jesus gives thanks for this food? He doesn't say, "Is that all you can do? Is that all you've got? Is that all you can give?" Doesn't do that, does he? This tiny offering, he takes and he gives thanks for it. Do you know, when we give on this gift day, you know, when we give week by week and month by month, Jesus gives thanks for it. Do you know, it would have been really costly for this boy, this clearly poor boy, that's the barley loaves suggest his poverty, to give up this food. And Jesus is so thankful. He's so thankful. He's so thankful when you give of your time, when you take time to be kind and show love to another person. He's so thankful when you serve him, when you serve him in the church, when you serve him in your workplace, when you serve him amongst friends and family. He's so thankful, he does not turn his nose up. He gives thanks to God the Father. And as Jesus takes a hold of what we give him, something extraordinary happens. Tom Wright says this, "So often we don't know what to do.
the starting point is always to bring what is there to the attention of Jesus. Isn't that great? So often we don't know what to do. Bring what is there. And when you do that, things change. Why? Because now it's in the hands of Jesus, isn't it? It's in the hands of Jesus, hands that can heal with a touch, hands that bring life to the dead, hands that, as the song says, flung stars into space, hands that bless and multiply. Bring what you have to Jesus. Place them in Jesus' hands. It is a much safer place for them to be. Verse 12 says this. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Jesus provides abundantly, doesn't he? He doesn't provide just enough. He provides for them so they all are full. Not only that, but there are leftovers that are not wasted. You know, Jesus doesn't waste anything, which is really encouraging. There's 12 basketfuls, which is a very deliberate picture of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the one who's been promised. This is the king announcing his arrival. The king has come. This one with unlimited resources. He's come. But notice he is not ready to be crowned king. Do you see that? He's not ready to be crowned king. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." This prophet who's prophesied in the Old Testament, this one who's going to be like Moses. Surely this is him. We've just been fed in the wilderness. But Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. You know, the crowd, they like this miracle, don't they? They want to make Jesus king. But remember, it's Passover. It's Passover, and Passover speaks of pain and sacrifice. You see, the people, they don't realize what sort of king this is. They're yet to realize that this Jesus has himself come to bring what he has. His life. This king has come to offer himself for the sake of others. This king has come to be broken like bread, to be poured out like wine, so that the broken and the needy can be made whole. You see, this is what happens at the cross. These hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. Why? Well, it's so the overwhelming love, overwhelming grace might come and meet overwhelming need. That's what Jesus does. The needs are overwhelming, extraordinary, and they can only be met by extraordinary, overwhelming love that is given by Jesus. This is all about what Jesus does. This is why we need to bring what we have to Jesus today. Do you know, on Remembrance Sunday, we rightly remember those who have died in conflict. But today we also rightly remember the King who gave his life not just for his friends,
He gave his life for his enemies. Such is his love. That's his love. His love is not, oh, I just love you. I love the whole world. And I gave my life for you, that you could be restored, that the mended could be made whole, the broken could be made whole. Before we give our gifts, let us consider the amazing gift of Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? Gives himself completely, withholds nothing. Let's remember what he's given us. And as we do that, that enables us to face the needs around us. It enables us to bring what we have to Jesus, because we realize that Jesus' hands, they're much better than our hands. Because there's extraordinary power, extraordinary grace in them. So let's pray together. And we're going to respond by singing a song, I Will Offer Up My Life. But during this song, I would love us just to take time to remember what Christ has done. And then just to consider, God, what would you have me bring this morning? You might have been doing that already this week. Just ask God, what would you have me bring this morning? You might not have something with you. It might be something that you're going to bring, going to give a gift online, or going to give a gift tonight. But let's just pause, be still before God. Perhaps you're feeling overwhelmed at the moment. You know, Jesus wants us to recognize the need is too big for us. But he knows what he's about to do. Bring what you have to Jesus. Bring yourself to him. Expect the King to come. Let's be still. Lord God, we recognize, Lord, that the needs are overwhelming. But Lord, we pray, Lord, we would not be overwhelmed. Lord, we pray that you would give us faith and give us courage, not to believe that we have the answer, but to trust that you are the answer. Lord, that we would have faith to bring what we have to you. And Lord, we lift our needy city to you. Lord, we lift the young. Lord, the children in poverty. Lord, we lift those in who are caught up in cycles of addiction. Lord, we lift those who are being abused. Lord, we lift up those who are facing crisis pregnancy. Lord, we lift up those who are in debt. We lift up those who are lonely. Lord, we lift up the hungry and those who need shelter. And we ask you, the God of miracles, to take what we bring and work in power in this city, to bring your hope, to bring your love, to bring your wholeness, we pray. Lord, forgive us when we've turned from the needs instead of facing the needs. Lord, as we do that this morning, Lord, give us faith. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.